Well, now, I bet you're glad we're not doing this outside this morning, aren't you? There is, apart from the large blue tank in the middle, there is something rather strange going on this morning, which if you're a visitor, or if you've not been here before, you might not have realized. But if you're a member, if you're a regular here, it will stand out like a sore thumb. What's strange is that I am not dressed the way I normally am. I normally just wear, chinos and a shirt. The only times I ever dress like this, complete with a dog collar, is either when I'm going on a hospital visit, so that the nurses know who I am and let me in, and clearly this isn't a hospital, or for funerals. Now, why would I be dressed today as if I was going for a funeral? Well, because actually that is one of the things that we're doing today. We've come here to celebrate Carol's funeral. Now, that is pretty strange in itself for two reasons. The first is that Carol doesn't appear to be particularly in need of a funeral. She's sitting here quite happily, maybe a little nervous, but it doesn't appear to be actually, well, dead, which is the normal precondition for having a funeral. And the second reason it's strange is that we've come here to celebrate a funeral. When was the last time you celebrated a funeral? I mean, sometimes at funerals we celebrate the life of the person being buried. Just 2 weeks ago was the funeral of David's mum, Jeannie, and the chapel up at Morden Hall was packed out because people wanted to come to celebrate and give thanks for a life full of achievement, a life well lived. But we weren't celebrating the fact that Jeannie had died. We weren't there to celebrate the funeral itself. So what's going on here today? Well, Paul tells us exactly what's going on in his letter to the Romans. If you've got your Bible with you, would you turn with me to the letter to the Romans? That's in the second half of your Bibles in the New Testament, after the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Acts, and then you get to Romans. If you've got to Corinthians, you've gone too far. And it's chapter 6 in Romans. And from verse 3, Paul says this: "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace." Life can be fantastic. There are some fabulous things about life, some great things. There's a huge amount to enjoy and celebrate and cling to. But let's be honest, there's also an awful lot that is awful. Every one of us has stuff in our life which can be like a weight dragging us down. Stuff which is depressing, frustrating, discouraging, even enslaving and destructive. And it's all because of something that the Bible calls sin. The idea that we have rejected the way that God intended us to live and have chosen to do our own thing instead. And that has spoiled everything. Our rage, our lust, our bitterness, our pain, our hopelessness, all the things in human life that society actually tries to say, well, you know, that's just what life is about. And the Bible says, no, it's not. It's really not. That is not the way we were designed to be. That's not the life that God wanted for his people. He wanted something so much better for us. So the first thing we have to celebrate in a baptism, and today in Carol's baptism, is the fact that Carol has chosen to put to death her old life. That's what verse 6 is about here. For we know that our old self was crucified with Christ, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Carol is saying, I do not want to be a slave any longer. I'm choosing to put to death my old life so that I can be set free. And that is certainly something to celebrate. But so far, that sounds like it's just Carol who is doing something really clever, you know, that she is somehow setting herself free. But that's not at all what this is about, because, of course, we've missed a key factor here. That whole passage that we just read starts with a rather odd phrase. Paul says, all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus. Now, baptism is a hard enough thing to try to understand, but what does it mean to be baptized into something? I used to just think that was sort of rather old-fashioned language, but actually it's not. It's a phrase with quite a specific meaning. And that phrase occurs 5 times in the New Testament. Here in Romans, it's baptized into Christ and then baptized into his death. And then in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about how the Israelites were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And then later he says, by one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. And then in Galatians 3, he talks about being baptized into Christ. What it means to be baptized into something is to be publicly identified with the thing that you are being baptized into. The focus is not on the baptism or even on the person being baptized. It's on the thing that the baptism represents. And the thing that this baptism represents is the death and burial of Jesus Christ. If you don't know, if you've never been told this clearly, here's what that is about. Jesus Christ is God's own Son, who loves this world and the people in it so much that one day he said, I'm going to set aside the fact that I am the God of the universe. I'm going to set aside all my glory, all my power, and I am going to come and live as a human being, to live and work and eat and sleep and go through all that human beings live through alongside them. And he did that. And even though he was the only person who has ever lived who never sinned, who never rebelled against God, the only person ever who was innocent of every crime, he was arrested and tortured and put to death on trumped up charges. And in doing that, he took the punishment that you and I deserve, because we do deserve that. He died in our place so we could go free. And in this baptism today, Carol is saying, I want to identify myself with the death of Jesus Christ. First of all, with the fact that his death and burial were for me. He died for me, she's saying. That the punishment he took was for me. The death of Jesus is, if you like, the hinge of our confidence for the future, that we aren't baptized into his example or his life, but into his death. That's great. That's all very well. But so far, you might have noticed that there is still something missing. It's all very well saying that death can set you free, but if you stay dead, that freedom isn't going to be worth very much. Not going to be a lot of fun if you're dead. If we lowered Carol into the water and just left her down there, I think she might object. And David might have some stern words for me later. But of course, we missed out half the story. This is what we were talking about last week, if you were here. Jesus died and was buried, but 3 days later, God brought him back to life. It's resurrection. When God broke the power of death and brought life for everyone who turns to him. That's what we read in verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. Why should we be buried with Christ? So that we can be dead forever? No. So that with him and in him, we can have new life. Life as God intended it to be. Washed from the inside out. All the guilt and the shame. The slate wiped completely clean. Being given new life where there was death. And God can do the same for you if you invite him in. Now, as Baptists, one of the things that we believe about baptism is that it is for believers. It's kind of a precondition of a funeral that you're dead before you get buried. And likewise, with a baptism, it's kind of a precondition that you're able to make that decision to die to your old life and follow Jesus. And so we're going to ask Carol to come up now and just tell us why she's here and why she wants to be baptized. Carol, over to you.
Okay. Right. I was going to prepare something and then I thought, no, I'll just speak from the heart. So I don't know what I'm going to say, but here it is. It's been a long journey getting here. It's been not been an easy path. And I know that in the future it won't necessarily be an easy path, but I know now that all through my life, whatever I've been through, I did get a message years ago, actually. Somebody came up to me and said that they had a message for me, and it was to say that God would never leave me or forsake me, and through everything that I have been through, that has been true. And I can look back now and see that he never did leave me and he never did forsake me. And there were times when I was very, very low that I did feel that perhaps that was happening, but it never, ever did. No matter what happened, no matter what I went through, he was always there for me. I've suffered from depression and anxiety for many years now. For nearly 20 years. And each time that I had suffered from the depression and the anxiety, I denied it. Once I was well again, it was like, that never happened. Don't tell anybody that that happened. And at the time, I denied, oh, it's not that. It must be something else. And so it went on. And my my way through, really, through all that time was that I did feel, I kept challenging God throughout it and saying, if, you know, this isn't for me, if it, take me now if you don't want me. I did challenge God, and that's not something he, but through it all, he didn't leave me and he didn't forsake me, and he had something for me, but at the time I couldn't see it. And coming up to Scotland, I thought everything was going to be fine now. I was never going to suffer from depression, anxiety again. I'd left all things behind me and moved somewhere else. But of course, that wasn't the case. And life isn't like that, and things still happen, and I suffered from the worst bout of depression and anxiety that I had previously, and I suffered for 2.5 years. And in all that time, God never left me, and he led me to where I am now, and I realise now I acknowledge the fact that I do suffer from depression and anxiety. I've done something about it. I tell people. I want to help other people who suffer from mental illness. And I believe that's what the purpose of that was. And I know that I will still could well suffer another bout. But now that I've acknowledged it, and I feel that I will be able to help other people with it through that, which, so God does do amazing things. And he's just poured out blessings on me since I've recovered, and since I've decided that what I need to do about that is to use it to help other people. God has just poured out blessings upon me. He led me here to this church, and the minute I walked in, I just came on my own one Sunday. I was telling somebody that I felt I needed to get back to church, and they said they knew, a friend said they knew of this church, and they thought it would be a good place to try. And one Sunday, I just got up that morning and thought, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to go and see what it's like. And I've never felt more welcome in anywhere than walking into here. Everybody was so kind and so friendly, and I just felt like I belonged, and this is where I was meant to be. And since then, God has just been speaking to me, and I've even said to Ian, will you tell him to slow down, because there's just been so much happening. And just lots and lots happening. And I've met the most wonderful man, who's my soulmate, and we got married 2 weeks ago. And it's just amazing what God is doing in my life. And I feel like I belong here in Peebles. And I know he might send me off to other places to do things, and that's fine. I'll just listen and go where he wants to. But I feel like this is home now, and that's where I should be, and I feel very much at home within this church family as well. And I'd just like to thank everybody for making me feel so welcome, and it's just a great honour to be a part of this church family. So just thank you, everybody.
Celebrating a transformed life today, and maybe as you've been watching this, something in you is saying, I need my life to be transformed. Maybe you need to be changed and cleaned from the inside out. Well, the good news for you is that you can be today. Jesus Christ hung on a cross and died for your sin. He rose from the dead to give you new life. And he's alive now at the Father's right hand. And his Holy Spirit is available to come into your life and change you. Maybe you've never had an encounter with God or any kind of relationship with God. I'd like to invite you to join in a prayer in a minute, when we're going to be inviting God to come in by his Holy Spirit. Or maybe you've had some kind of experience with God, but right now you know things are not right in your life. And then I'd like you to join us as we pray, opening up our hearts and ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life again. maybe you're a long-standing Christian and your relationship with God is good, but even then, it's great to take this opportunity of a baptism to just remind ourselves of what it is that we committed ourselves to and renew the vows that we all made when we were baptized. So I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer, and we're all going to silently join in this prayer from our hearts. Father God, I thank you that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I believe that you raised him from the dead, that I might live a transformed life. This day, I turn from my sin and turn to you. This day, I invite you to come into my life, to change me, cleanse me, and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I now choose to follow your great plan for my life and make a difference to the world around me. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, congratulations. If you prayed that for the first time, the Holy Spirit has answered. He's in your life, and you are never going to be the same again.